This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Patty White with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, June 26th, 2024. Around half of Maine's emergency medical providers have yet to take a mandatory training course in the distribution of the overdose reversal drug Narcan to opioid users after overdosing, even though they are required to by law that goes into effect next week. Nick Song has more.
Naloxone, also known as Narcan, is an antidote for opioid overdoses. Maine EMS, which is in charge of the state's emergency medical system, started offering the required training in how to distribute the drug to patients in 2022. And with the new law going into effect on July 1st, Maine EMS program coordinator Robert Glaspy says he doesn't know why so many providers have yet to take the mandatory hour-long training course.
I know that for all of those clinicians that have taken this training, it was a priority. So when it comes down to it, that's a question that the EMS clinician themselves have to face, and that they have to answer that as to why.
A full list of non-compliant providers will be given to the EMS board after the June 30th deadline. Glaspy says it's possible the board may then choose to take disciplinary action. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
The chief medical examiner's office in Maine has identified the remains of a man who was killed earlier this month in an Auburn home that was the scene of a violent standoff and fire. The man has been identified as 43-year-old Brian Woodbury, but a spokesperson for the medical examiner's office says a cause of death has not been determined. Woodbury was killed after 43-year-old Leon Hinckley of Lewiston tried to break into his ex-girlfriend's house in the early morning hours of June 15th. Auburn police say they received a 911 call from the woman who said Hinckley was armed and in a fight with Woodbury. She was able to escape before her house and the one next door became engulfed in flames. Police later shot and killed Hinckley, who allegedly shot at police from inside the home and caused the evacuation of several nearby residents. Hinckley had a lengthy criminal history and had been released on reduced bail days before, after a judge found that the courts violated his rights by not finding him an attorney. That decision has prompted criticism from police unions and Governor Janet Mills. Developers are proposing more than 100 condos and apartments about a half mile away from the Portland Jetport. As Nicola Grisco reports, the condos are being billed as starter homes that would fill a gap in Portland's housing inventory.
The project includes 90 condos and 18 rental apartments on Congress Street. Developers say the exact purchase prices are still being worked out, but they want the condos to be affordable to first-time homeowners. Half of the condos will be restricted to households with annual incomes between $69,000 and more than $125,000, depending on the household size. 18 of the condos will also have an accessory dwelling unit. Developer Chris Marshall says the construction of the ADUs is possible due to a relatively new Maine law and Portland zoning rules.
People have been looking for a way to lower their cost of living. They'll pay a little bit more for a condo, but they get to live in a good condo with amenities in the building and then have that supplementary income if they choose to rent it out. Or with multi-generational, obviously, there's more incomes or more net worth that can contribute to the cost of housing.
The developers are still meeting with neighborhood residents about the project and plan to file applications with the Portland Planning Board later this summer. Marshall says if all goes well, the condos would be built and ready to sell within 2 years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Grisco.
The Dempsey Center is constructing a new facility in Westbrook's Rock Row. The center, which currently has locations in Lewiston and South Portland, provides free support services for people affected by cancer, from counseling to fitness and nutrition programs. Spokesperson Caitlin Davis says they've seen a 38% increase in clients year over year since 2021 and have outgrown their South Portland location.
We have a massive influx here in Cumberland County, but also we see a lot of folks traveling up from York County to be able to access our in-person services.
Davis says the Westbrook location, which they hope to open next March, will replace their South Portland site. Portland's East Deering neighborhood will receive a $25 million federal transportation grant for upgrades that include adjustments to the I-295 off-ramp and installation of new pedestrian pathways near the future home of Northeastern University's Rue Institute campus. The construction of the campus at the site of the former B&M Baked Beans factory has raised concerns from neighbors about an expected increase in traffic. The project received city approval with the expectation that university developers would mitigate traffic in the neighborhood. The plans call for a path connecting new public bike trails on the campus under Tukey's Bridge and improvements to the Back Cove Trail. Today marked the beginning of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich's trial in Russia. He was detained by Russian authorities nearly 15 months ago and has been held in a Russian jail ever since. Gershkovich is falsely accused of gathering secret information on behalf of American intelligence agencies, a charge which the State Department and the Wall Street Journal call, quote, ridiculous. Instead, they say the journalist is being used as a political pawn. David Collings, a professor in the English department at Bowdoin College, was an academic advisor to Gershkovich while he was a student at Bowdoin beginning in 2010. The two have kept in contact since his graduation, so when Gershkovich was arrested in 2023, Collings was shocked. He remembers the larger-than-life figure he knew on campus.
And I would say he's a very distinctive person. Everybody at Bowdoin who knew him would also speak to this. He was jovial and gregarious. He knew tons of people, and he loved hanging out with people, very social. But he was very curious.
His curiosity has persisted even in prison, Collings says, where he's keeping his mind active by reading as much as he can.
And so he read War and Peace and a bunch of other immense Russian novels. And he was thinking, you know, maybe I should write a novel. So he took it as an opportunity to return to intellectual inquiry and literature and to sort of capitalize on his imprisonment in some way that's positive.
Though Gershkovich graduated from Bowdoin a decade ago, he's still very much on the minds of current students, especially at the Bowdoin Orient, the student-run newspaper where he got his start in journalism. Kristen Kinsler is a senior and the editor-in-chief of the paper. She says students are watching Gershkovich's case closely.
I think initially we were all really shocked and horrified by what was happening, because I think we view it as obviously a journalist who's wrongfully imprisoned, but also as like a member of our community and someone who, you know, has written for the same paper and has been in the same space that we use for production nights and then has gone on to have a really cool journalism career.
Kinsler says students and faculty have been regularly writing to Gershkovich. The letters, all of which must be translated into Russian, include literature, poetry, and messages of support. Last weekend, to mark his 10th college reunion, more than 100 were sent by his former classmates. Some of them are also taking part in the movement FreeEvanGershkovich.com, which advocates for his release. If convicted, he faces 20 years in prison. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, paying close attention to nature. I'm Patty White. Thanks for listening.